hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Speak not, O gentle Savior, hear my
Ephesians chapter number 2, beginning at verse 1 and verses following. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and verses following. If you got it, say, I got it. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Let's stop that. I want to talk about that was then, and this is now. Amen. Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. That was then, and this is now. I'm so grateful that what happened then, that was then. But now, this is now. What was is no longer is. Hallelujah. In chapter 1, Paul wrote of the great purpose and plan of God, culminating in the universal headship of Christ. If you'll notice, you've got your Bibles open in verse 10. He says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. I want you to know first, my brothers and sisters, that from the beginning, God had a plan for your life and for my life. And God will work out that plan that he has for your life and my life. Amen. Irrespective of what direction we go. Because we have to understand that there are some things that was then, amen, that God can use them, amen, to cause us to be who he wants us to be now. Amen, amen. But as we look at the scripture, chapter 1, we said he talked about the purpose and plan of God. But now he proceeds to talk about the new life that's in Christ. Paul begins with a description of man's past moral and spiritual condition, a life that was separated from the life of God. And so when we look at and we pose the question, where is that person who is separated from Christ? He does a good job of defining it because he said he's dead in trespasses. So I got to tell you, my brothers and sisters, if you're not in Christ, you are a dead person walking. Hallelujah. But I got good news for you, because you don't have to stay dead. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. There are those who are walking around dead in trespasses and sin. And the truth of the matter is, that's where the entirety of mankind was. For he says, living just like the world, full of sin and obeying Satan. And it isn't amazing how we have folk who will come to church. Amen. They'll spend some time in church, but the truth of the matter is, they are still obeying Satan. And I got to tell you that you can dibble and dabble with Satan. Amen, amen. If you play with him, amen, amen, you're going to have to pay for being with him. Amen. And I want you to know that God has a plan for your life, and God wants the best for you. Amen. But when we think about those who are dead in trespasses, obeying sin, obeying Satan and full of sin, they are acknowledging the prince of the power of the air. Amen. You don't have to say, I'm serving Satan. If you're not serving God, guess what? Yeah, you know, you don't have to be very smart to figure that one out. Amen. Either God is Lord of all, or he is not Lord at all. Part of our problem is we want to spend some time with the Lord, usually on Sunday. If we're really generous, we'll start at 9:30, but most often it's 11:10, and we're looking at our watch to make sure that we don't pass 1:05, because the line gets long at Luby's, and so I don't want to have to listen at all of that stuff. But that really tells me it comes from a life that's dead. Amen, amen. Have you ever wondered, folk will say, well, you know, that's just human nature. No, it's not human nature. It's a sin nature. And there is a need that you have a resurrected spirit and that you would have a divine nature. Amen. When you've got a divine nature, then the things of God start looking good to you. Hallelujah. You ever wonder how come some folk, when they come in church, boy, I feel like preaching. They come in church looking at their watch, and you can't move fast enough for them. And see, the reason I know that is because they keep looking. You know, if you look now and you look about 2 minutes later, it's only 2 minutes later. But you know, if you are in a pleasant environment, if you're enjoying what's going on, amen, you kick back and enjoy it. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I appreciate the way the choir sung. I was blessed by the deacons in prayer meeting. Lord, this is good, and I'm just thankful. But when we got a problem, amen, amen, I ain't fussing at you. I'm identifying how you know you're dead. Amen. When the things of God don't motivate and move me, I know I'm dead. But you don't have to stay dead. Hallelujah. Amen. In verse 3, Paul makes it personal. You will notice he began by saying, when he was talking, in verse 2 he said, whom ye walk. Now, it's all right to talk about other folk, but at some point, you're going to have an introspective look at yourself. Amen. Amen. You can identify dead folk there. But at some point, you got to see you dead too. And when I realize I'm dead, amen, I ain't going to get buried. Excuse my grammar. Amen. I need resurrection. And I'm glad that God has that resurrecting power that was worked out in the Lord Jesus. Amen. Paul now says, all of us used to live that way, following the passions and desires of our evil nature. Amen. We were born with an evil nature, and we were under God's anger just like everyone else. Amen. God's wrath was going to be poured upon us. But oh, thanks be to God. Amen. That while we were yet sinners, Christ loved us enough to give his life. And I don't know whether that means anything to you or not, but I'm always willing to tell somebody what I did back there. That was then. Amen. But now I'm living under a new administration. Amen, amen. God is now in control. And it's amazing to me how when God takes control of your life, how he modifies your behavior. Amen. Do you realize that when God comes in your life, the first thing that folk can see, you don't do what you used to do? Amen. And you see, you quit doing it while you're still able to do it. Go ahead and preach, Pastor. One of the things, folk will say, well, you know, I done quit running women. Well, my brother, you 82. If you caught him, you couldn't do anything anyway. Amen. And so you modify your behavior. Amen. When you see them coming, you smile and say hello, but you don't turn to watch them walk away. That's when God has come in your life. He modifies your behavior. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. Amen. When we talk about human nature talks about, it's all about me. Mm-hmm. Human nature says, I am the center of my universe. Amen. Human nature says, I live in a town named me. Amen. And I'm the mayor of the town. I'm the entire city council of that town. And I enact ordinances that make things good for me. But when you are in the Lord, amen, you know that God is going to provide. So you're not even worried about that kind of stuff. Amen. It becomes important that God's work is done. You see things the way Jesus saw them, amen, in John 9:4, when Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. Why? Because the night is going to come when no man can work. But when you're working for the master, amen, you don't get tired when you work for him. But when human nature prevails, amen, it's like when Satan answered the Lord in Job 2:4. Amen. Satan says about Job, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But can I tell you something? When you are in the Lord, you don't hold your life so dear that you're afraid that something's going to happen to you, because you know what's the worst thing that can happen to you. Amen. Amen. You die, but you go to heaven. And that ain't so bad. Last time I checked, I wish I had somebody here. Amen. When you leave all of this and go to all of that, it ain't so bad. Amen. But now, but God, that was then. When we look at who we used to be. Mm-hmm. That was then, but this is now. Well, when we talk about what is now, but God is rich in mercy, and he loved us so very much. And so then the question posed to be asked, what did God do? Well, listen what the text said. When we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. Need I remind you, by grace are we saved through faith. Amen. And when he raised Christ from the dead, he raised us from the dead when he raised Christ. And more than that, we are now seated with Christ in the heavenly realm. How do I know? Because we are one with Christ. And I don't know about you, but when we look at being seated, it says the work is already completed. Amen. See, you don't sit down until the work is done. But when you are seated in heavenly places, God says all that is needed for salvation has already been provided. Now, what he wants for us to do is to work while it is day. Amen. We all don't have the same office, but we all have an office. And whatever your office is, you ought to find yourself doing the best you can while you can. Can I tell you something, folks? Because at some point, you're not going to be able to do anymore. But you can be able to hear the Father say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Mm-hmm. But then the Bible said, and so God, amen, when he raised us up with Christ Jesus, God says, mm-hmm, in verse number 10, he says, "Now we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." Oh, bless your holy name, "which God hath ordained, before ordained, that we should walk in them." What God has done is he has at this point made us that where he can point to us as examples of the incredible wealth of his favor and his kindness toward us. And it is shown in all that he has done through Christ Jesus. And he can hold us up as an example of the goodness of the Lord. Now somebody said, "What did he say?" I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you what I said. What he said simply is that when I hold Amos up, somebody remembers back then. And now they're able to say, "But that was then. And this is now. And if he did it for him, he can do it for me." Does not matter how dark your sin was. Amen. It can be washed by the blood. And when the blood is applied, it washes us whiter than snow. Somebody can't understand this, but God saved us by grace through faith, and he had a purpose for saving us. He wants us to be able to show the goodness of the Lord, that if God can save Amos, he can save you. And not only that, if he can save you, he can save Bobo. And if he can save Bobo, he can serve Honey Nim. He can get all of those folk that we used to talk about. There's no way they can be saved. But I'm glad to tell you, I feel like we did. Tell you that God has a way to meet us right where we are. But the thing about God, he won't leave us like we were. He knows how to fix us up. And then when he fixes us up, he sends us right back to where he took us from. But now we are witness for him. Somebody can see our good works, but they'll glorify the Father which is in heaven. Do you know what I'm talking about? Amen. I'm glad to tell you that was then, but this is now. We are God's masterpiece. God can hold us up and say, "Look what I did. If I did this for white, I can do it for you. I know how to make all things well." And then the thing that I love about God, God takes away the sin out of our taster while we're able to taste it. Or somebody not hearing me? Amen. It's one thing to take away something from you when you no longer can appreciate it. But God knows how to take away the taste of sin while you could still enjoy it. Amen. Amen. God knows how to come in your life. And those that, amen, had a problem with Jack and Daniels, he knows how to take away that taste for that while you're still walking around. Yeah, don't look at me like you don't know who he is. Amen, amen. Come on, talk to me if you can. Amen. But see, God knows how to take that taste away from you. Amen. He puts the reality of serving him. Amen. You see, that there are those that when they talk about Jack and Daniel, that's small S-P-I-R-I-T. It's a spirit. Spirits. But now that's capital S.
Spirit. And there's only one Spirit, and that's the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes in your life, He changes that life. He makes that life worth living. You used to waste your time in frivolous things of the world. Now He focuses with a laser focus on the things of God. No wonder Jesus said, I must work. Y'all know what it says. When we understand that God is going to use us. And isn't it amazing that God can use us? Amen. We who used to be, you know what you were. Amen. I just feel like preaching. Brother Johnson said all of us are X something. Amen. All of us have done something at one point in our lives that we don't want anybody to know about. Amen. Come on. You know, you seal that book and make sure nobody gets in there. But I stop by to tell you, there is one who knows what's in your book. And He still loves you. He still sent His Son to die for you. While we were yet sinners, while those things were still in the book, even we were trying to hide it, the Lord said, I know what you did, but I know how to remedy it. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood. While I was headed away from Him, He overtook me. See, that's called grace. Amen. Grace overtook us when we were headed the wrong way. Grace turned us around, placed our feet on solid ground. Somebody in this room needs to know about grace. Amen, amen. I tell folk, you can be graceful in your movements. You can be grateful in your disposition. But only God can give us grace. Can I go ahead and preach? Can I talk about grace? Grace is a chemical. Amen, amen. He wants us to see this in this chemical way. We talk about grace. Well, we understand that if we take certain chemicals and put them together, it will give us a certain result. Well, when we look at grace, we take love. Love, love is positive, and mercy is negative. But if we take negative mercy and I put with it positive love, it equals grace. Even while I was yet a sinner, He looked past all of my faults, and out of His love He sent His Son. And His Son loved me enough to go to a hill called Golgotha. Can I go ahead and preach? While I was yet a sinner, they nailed His hands and riveted His feet. I'm talking about mercy beyond comprehension. You were going the wrong way. You were not getting any better, because that was then, but this is now. When do I understand now? Now is after the cross. After Christ died for my sins, He put a reality in my mind. Somebody said, I had a reality check. I learned how God loved me so much. And if God loved me that much, I ought to pay attention to Him. Somebody need to look at God and look at what He has done. That was then, when you were bawling and having a good time, turning it on and living it up, not caring about the Lord at all. But the Lord kept you. Have I got a witness here? You could have been cut short a long time ago. But God's grace watched over you until you came to yourself. You know, when I think about the prodigal, the Bible said when he came to himself. You see, most of us have to come to ourselves. We don't just normally want to gravitate to the Lord. But the scripture said the goodness of the Lord leads us to repentance. God is a good God. He's worthy to be praised. How do you know he's good? I'm glad you asked. He woke you up this morning and started you on your way. He gave you a house to live in, car to drive, bread to eat. He healed your body and saved your soul. Oh, God is a good God and worthy to be praised. No wonder the psalmist said, I will bless the Lord at all times. When things are not so good, I will bless the Lord. When the bills are paid, I will bless the Lord. When the IRS is trying to find me, I will bless the Lord. When the doctor says, I've done all I can do, I will bless the Lord. And it seems like, out of all that I do, I'm misunderstood. I will bless the Lord. Somebody needs to know, God is a good God, worthy to be praised. How can I praise Him? I'm glad you asked. Lift holy hands to Almighty God. I will bless the Lord. But let me stop a minute. You see, somebody don't get it. Have I got a witness? But I want you to see this. Sister Connie Glaze used to be a police officer. And one thing about a police officer, when they stop you, they said, hands up. What you're doing is you are submitting to their authority. Well, on a day, long time ago, I lifted up my hands and submitted to God's authority. Not my will, because that was me. A lot of money, but I got a joy that the world didn't give me, and the world can't take it away. Ah, yes, I will bless the Lord at all times. If you're in this room and have not made peace with God, there is a peace that passes all understanding. When folk are all crazy, you can relax. Have I got a witness? When you've been talked about, be transformed. Rest in the Lord. I don't know about you, but I've learned how to rest in the Lord. You can't upset me, because God is good. And if God be for me, who can be against me? I learned how to rest in the Lord. I want somebody to know, y'all got to excuse me, but God is good. I want to shout, 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 shout. Watch your shout, because the goodness of the Lord taught me a lesson. I was not too bad to come to the Lord. I was not too far gone that I couldn't come to the Lord. My sins were not so bad that I couldn't come to the Lord. So there was, thank you, Holy Ghost, on a Friday evening, on my way to hell, I heard a preacher preach. Can I go ahead and tell it? At 31, 33, 2 Street, oh, about a God that saves, a cross that bleeds, a grave that couldn't hold its inhabitant. One thing I know, when you die in the Lord, you are not really dead, you are asleep. And if you go to sleep, you can be awakened. So I stop by to tell you, in the morning, blown it? Yeah, I've blown it. I've done some stuff, amen, that I don't want anybody to know. I hear folk getting up confessing. I ain't confessing nothing. I'll tell the Lord.
You don't need to know, because all you're going to do is talk about it anyway. Done some stuff, but through it all, he kept me. He never turned his back on me. He never told me, try to do it by yourself. And so now I can stand before you and tell you, that was then, but this is now. He put running in my feet. This is now. Joy in my heart. This is now. I serve a God that's real. Amen. I used to serve him on and off. But now it's all about him. Amen. If you want to make sense out of life, go to the life giver. Let him explain to you what life is all about. And he'll tell you, first, flesh and blood cannot inherit. And so you got to get that matter settled. The matter of your eternal being. See, folk want to play with the Lord. Amen. I want to come and spend time on Sunday, but I don't want to spend Monday through Saturday time. But God is real. He's real. And you ought to give him every day that's due him. And can I tell you this? If you take God out of your life, you have nothing. Amen. That's what the writer said. We were dead in trespasses and our sins. But he quickened us. He gave us life. And that life ought to reflect the one who is the life giver. There might be one here today that you know what you've done. But aren't you glad that we serve a forgiving God? That he doesn't hold that to your account. Amen. When Jesus died, it took care of that account. So if you're here,